We hope today's edition of The Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day.
Good morning. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Tina Dobbs, sitting in the driver's seat this morning. My sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, is over there running the iPad for us. And our guest this morning is Rick Spain. How are you doing this morning?
Just happy to be here.
Me too. I'm happy to see you here.
You bet. Happy to see you guys.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send it to us three ways. You can email it to ourpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837, or you can comment on the Facebook post, and we'll do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and I'll do my best to get that uploaded shortly after the program has ended. Our Facebook sponsor for today is the Refuge Church, now located at New Liberty at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. Please like, share, and comment to let us know you're joining us this morning. I covered it all. Would you like to pray to start us out?
If you have any prayer requests, you already sent it. You already told them.
I started with that. Praise reports and prayer requests are the first thing.
Yeah. I might be able to sit behind that desk. No.
You've heard it. You've heard it enough times, I'm sure, as many times as you've been here.
Yes. Yeah.
I should have known it better a long time ago, as many years as I've been listening on the other side of the screen.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because we just block our brains to certain things. Guys are really bad about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm married.
Yeah. Well, let's pray. Father, we love you and bless you, Lord God. We just thank you for this time. Thank you, Lord God, this time. This message is anointed, Lord God. Not only that, but the ears and the hearts of your people, Lord God, are receptive and ready to receive, Lord God. I thank you for it. Father, we just pray for those enduring trials, Lord God, that you give them the strength, the wisdom, the direction they need. I thank you for it, Lord God. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I like your title. It is time.
It is time. You know, it's interesting that the Spirit of God moves in a certain direction. You know, and if you pay attention, you can understand and see what the message that he's wanting to bring out. Mm. You know, and so, you know, I've been hearing the same message over and over again. So I know it's what the Spirit of God is wanting to do now in this time. And so this, what we're going to talk about today, is kind of what I believe the Holy Spirit, the direction he is desiring for the church to go. So when I get on this program, most of the time in my speaking or in my ministry efforts, I speak to the church. You know, I am not what you call an evangelist. I'm not one of those that goes out there and tells everybody about Jesus. It is in my conversation, but my heart is that the body of Christ be equipped, be developed, be ready for what God wants to do. Because I want you to understand that the reason why you are here is greater than your day-to-day activities. You know, and so when Jesus made his sacrifice, that purpose was for you to find who you are. You know, and so we look at Paul's writings, and we see that he says, I die the flesh daily, and it's not I that lives, but it's Christ that lives in me. You know, and these thoughts, and we think that that kind of disconnects us in this, and like we're in some kind of a game with God. You know, and that's in the reality, when we die, actually what we do is we allow Christ to live in us. So what does Christ do? You know, I remember as a kid that, you know, we would make the comment about Jesus being in our hearts. You know, and so that is a kind of an understanding that we're trying to bring across. But it's more than that. You know, so you remember in the scriptures where Jesus said, I and the Father are one. I and the Father are one. So when we receive Jesus' sacrifice, we become one with him. And so when Paul says I die daily, what he's really saying is I'm dying to my old desires, and I am connecting to Christ in me, because we're actually one with Christ. And as Christ is one with the Father, we are one with the Father also. So, but it takes a renewing of the mind. It takes a changing of direction. It takes a understanding of what God wants to do in our life. So I want to read scripture here. Matthew 28, and we're going to start in verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now, what does that mean to you guys? All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Okay, we look at it in the church mindset. Okay, Jesus, top dog, right? He is, there's no one to compete with him or to compare with him. But then we get out in our everyday, day-to-day experience of life, and we see, we hear the voices of politics, we hear the voices of whatever the news says, all these voices that challenge the authority of Jesus. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me, not only on earth, but in heaven. All authority. There is nothing that is greater than the name of Jesus. You know, it says in Philippians that he humbled himself as a servant. Before that, it says that he didn't think it was an achievement to be equal with God. It was something that he had to grasp or to work towards. We understand that. Before he came to earth, he was God. He was equal with God. And so, but then it says that he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And because of that, Father God has given him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord, to the glory of the Father. So that's in Philippians chapter 2. You know, and so we need to understand who Jesus is. You know, I think what happens is we have our little mental icons. You know, like you might see in a Catholic church, you know, they got the saints or Jesus, or you got the little icons, and we say, well, that's wrong. That's wrong. Well, folks, we do the same thing. We got our little Jesus, and we pull him out when we need him. Let me tell you something. He's not something to be pulled out. He is the supreme authority over all of existence. As a matter of fact, I'm not even getting into what I wanted to talk about this morning yet, But this is good. This is something we need to understand. If you will look at the scriptures, and I want you to put this in your mindset, Jesus. I'm talking Old Testament all the way to Revelation. What is the primary focus on all of God's Word? The primary focus is God and His people. But there is something that's intertwined in there all throughout the Scriptures. And that is either of the coming of Jesus, what Jesus was going to do, or when He comes back. The whole Bible is about Jesus. Every bit of it. From the beginning to the end. So Jesus said, that's a long introduction to what I'm going to say now. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me both in heaven and in earth. Therefore, and we know when we read therefore, it's therefore reason. And the reason is what we just read, all authority. And so He goes on to say, go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And behold, I'm going to be with you all the time. He said always. I say all the time. He never leaves, never forsakes. What we tend to do is we get our focus on whatever it is we're dealing with, and we want Jesus to come and get in our boat and say, hey, Lord, look at this. You know, we got to deal with this thing. You know, and so we're so moved by the moment, so much of the time moved by the moment. You know, we got this issue and that issue. You know, and so... But I want you to understand that God is touched by our emotions, but He's not moved by them. Gosh, that's really tough. That's tough. You know, He is not moved by our emotional outbursts. What is He moved by? All right. Tina said our faith. Our faith. And that's so true, but our faith in what? Our faith in what He has spoken to us. And remember what He's spoken to us, it's the underlying current is it's all about Jesus. Every bit of it, from front to back. I challenge you, when you read the scriptures, try to find Jesus in there, and I promise you, you will. Old Testament, New Testament, doesn't matter. He's in there the whole way. Jesus opened up the door so that we could have a relationship with the Father, but even more than that, that we could come to an understanding of the reason why He created us. When you find that, I'm going to tell you, it's almost like a drug addict. When a drug addict finds this drug that, man, this is the one, you know, and so they're addicted immediately. When you find what Jesus did for you and the reason why He did it so that you can understand who you really are, I'm going to tell you, you will be addicted. I don't know why I got into that, but it's so true. You know, it's because I don't have notes. So you know what, you guys, I'm talking to you this morning. But that's okay. So He said, all authority is given to me. You go. You go. So what we want to do, this is what we want to do, folks. We see all the problems in the world. We got this person and that person. You know, we know, man, need to talk to him about the Lord, but... You know, it's we get in the way. We look at ourselves and say, oh, gosh, I don't want to do this, or, you know, I'm not qualified, whatever it may be. And so what we do is then we go into our prayer closet and we pray for them. You know, and so because of that, what we believe that we've done our job just because we pray for them. Now, I'm not saying don't pray for people. That's not what I'm saying. We need to pray for them. But we, you know, Paul said, he said to Timothy, be ready in season and be ready out of season. So what does that mean? And basically, what are we talking about today? We're talking about it is time. What am I talking about? It's time to reach people for Jesus. It's time. I'm telling you that this is where the Holy Spirit's flowing right now. All over. And so, you know, what happens is we as Christians, what we do is we get saved and it's like, whoa. I mean, our eyes are opened up and you know what? I was thinking about this the other day, Monica, that, you know, when I'm not really that rambunctious evangelistic type person. Now, doesn't mean I don't talk to people about it. I'm just not, you know what I'm saying? So I was trying to think, when was I most evangelistic? And I look back and I remember when, now, see, I got saved when I was a little kid, 10, 12 years old. But I wasn't trained and didn't know how to walk in all this stuff. And maybe church tried to train me, but it didn't click. I didn't see it. And so what I did is I ended up getting into drugs and all kinds of other stuff. And, oh, terrible, terrible. And, you know, I was, so when I talk about a drug addict, I know. But anyway, Jesus met me again when I was 19 years old. And for you guys that have listened to me long enough, you know the story. But he met me when I was 19 years old and just blew my world. How do I say it? It just, whoa, bam, explosion in my world. And I saw things like I never saw them. You know, I was instantly delivered, instantly, which is, I mean, big miracle. And I just got a fire in me. And one thing is, you know, I started reading the Bible. And from that point on, it's never been a problem for me to read God's Word. Never. It's not a responsibility to me. It is an addiction. I want to see what this thing has to say. I want to know what he has to say, why he says it, how it applies to me, and how it applies to those things around me. And so, but anyway, at that time, when Jesus met me and I accepted what he had to offer, goodness gracious, I was telling everybody about Jesus. Everybody. You know, I didn't care. You know, but then we get into it and we start learning about the Christian experience. We get in church and, you know, that kind of fades away because, you know, then we start thinking about offending people and think about how uneducated we may be. All these excuses for us not to go out there, not to go to our next door neighbor and ask them, do you know Jesus? You know, it's heart-rending almost. But, you know, what we have done is we have created the church experience to bring people in. Whereas what we should be doing as a church is to create a God experience, and he'll draw the people in. You know, and so we've taken God, kind of put him as an icon. Yes, we recognize God. This is God's house, which is another thing. That church building is not God's house, and it never will be. God's house is us. We are his house. And so, you know, when we have created this So we have given God a little place in the church, but you know, we're on a schedule. And you know, we're here to make people feel comfortable. You know, I look back and as Jesus walked on the earth, and I've yet to find a spot where he set aside a place so people could be more comfortable in his presence. You know, one thing that that I read and applies to what I'm talking about today is when Jesus confronted the Pharisees and he says, man, you guys got it wrong. Not only do you have it wrong, you got it dead wrong. You're going the other direction. You know, he says that you bring people in, then you train them up and make them to be worse than you are. I'm going to pause for a second. Is that what we're doing? Yeah. So, you know, what is church for? Paul said the reason for church is so that the leaders could come in and that they could teach, preach, equip the body. And for what? To live a better life, to be more successful. I'm all about that. Don't get me wrong. God's all about that. But that is not the main focus. The focus is so that we could do the work of the ministry. Well, we pay preacher to do that. Wrong. You pay the preacher so that the preacher can equip you so you can do it. You know, and so we look, go back into this scripture. It says, therefore, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. So making disciples, what does that mean? What is a disciple? So if you look at the definition of disciple, it means disciplined one. Okay, it's like on-the-job training. So you get this new guy in the work arena where you're involved, and what are you wanting to do? You're wanting to teach this person what they need to do in order to make this job more successful, right? And so as they learn and as they do, what happens is they develop a discipline and they become a disciple of whoever's training them. And once they have reached the level of the trainer, then the trainer moves on. And so this is what Jesus did with the 12 apostles. Judas made a mistake, we know that. But with the other 11, what happened is Jesus put all, he was showing them and he was teaching them and he was saying, he was giving them on-the-job training. This is how you do it. And so when he left, he said, you guys are in charge now. You are my disciples, and now you have reached that discipline point to become what I was teaching you. And so that's what church is about, folks. It's about being trained so we can go out and have an effect on our world. We live in a evil world right now. We are seeing a separation like never before. Light and darkness, sheep and goats, whatever you want to call it, there is it, because the differentiating point is not on opinion or this is the way we should do it. The differentiating point is God himself. Do you want God in your life or not? That is the dividing factor. Well, God's arm is never shortened. It's never too short to save. And so we have to understand that we're going to have to take a break here in just a few minutes. But I want to make this one point that there are 20% of the population that affect the other 80%. 20%. Okay, so we look at that. So how do you break that down? So you got 10%, and they're on polar opposites. The 20%, they're on polar opposites. You got 10% that are dead set against God, 10% that, you know what, they're wanting to promote God. You know, and so if you understand, there's only a small percentage, really, that is affecting everything. Where do you fit? Well, I'm in that 80%. I'm just in the middle. I don't want to rock no boats. I just want to, you know, I want to live my life, be at peace with everybody. Let me tell you something. When you, this is a quote, when you try to make everyone happy, you know what happens? You make no one happy. And that includes you. So let's do our thing on commercials. We got to pay for this program.
Do you have any prayer requests over there? I've got one. My friend Maria's daughter, Shannon, has been in active addiction for several years. And right now she's on her mom's couch this morning. So let's pray that she'll have the desire to get clean and live life again.
Is Maria listening?
I don't think she is. She texted me.
Okay. Well, I just want to speak to this because we have lots of kids. You guys know I've been a part of 8 kids in my life that I had a honor to, whether I liked it or not, an honor to teach them and to train them. One of our daughters she's went off in that direction that parents do not like. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't want them. You know, we prayed for them, we've trained them, and Lord, what are they doing? Going off another direction. So, you know, we have been exercising tough love. That's one thing, and it's tough.
It is hard.
They think it's tough on them, but it's tough on us.
It is.
And so, and she's been on this journey. She's got a little baby, 13 months old, and so that's tough. But it was interesting that one of our prayers for her was that, Lord, I don't care if they're believers or not, because I know you can use a donkey. And I pray that you use whomever to influence her to bring her back. She told this story because she's coming to her senses. You know, and she told this story. She said, she's talking to her mom. She said, you know, Mom, what really got me, it wasn't a preacher. Wasn't a religious person. I was walking into a convenience store, and there was a beggar there, and he was just drunk as could be, you know, and he was just giving everybody, you know, a taste of hell. We'll just say it, you know, it wasn't good at all. But when she walked by, he said, "Excuse me." And she looked at him and he said, "Can I pray for you?" Wow. Yeah. And, you know, the prayer he prayed, evidently he knows the Lord. He just fallen back. She said, "That's what got me." You know, and so when I pray for things like this, I pray that whoever God wants to use, mm-hmm. Let's don't put God in a box. However God wants to do this, let's don't put God in a box. So as I pray for Maria's daughter, I just thank you, Lord God, that your arm is not too short. I thank you, Father, for what has been planted in this daughter. I thank you, Lord God, that those things do not go away. They may lay dormant, but we speak life to the seeds that have been planted in her. Lord God, in the confusion, we come against the misguided thoughts. We command them to come in line with the Word of God in obedience to Christ. And Lord God, we speak life over her, that no longer will her life be tied to that which she does, but to that who she is. Thank you for it. I give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.